By means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Spirit Sanctifier, Harry, I implore you, I pray you again, may your will known to all, so that by knowing it, they may love it and may welcome your first act of their complete sanctification, which is your holy will. Mary, Seat of Wisdom, pray for us. Help of all Christians, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today we will continue with our reading from the book of Adam.
Entry number 120, October 30th, 1933, from volume 32. Whence I continued my round in the divine will, and arriving in Eden, I thought to myself, oh, how I would like the love, the adoration of innocent Adam, in order to be able to also love my God with his same love with which the first creature created by him loved him. And my sweet Jesus, surprising me, said to me, my blessed daughter, the soul who lives in my divine will finds in it all she wants, because nothing of what is done in my divine will goes lost. Nothing goes outside it, but everything remains inside together with it, inseparable from it. Rather, it forms her very life. Hence, all that which Adam did in my divine will, he could carry nothing with himself. At the most, the happy memory of how he had loved, of the seas of love that inundated him, of the pure joys that he had enjoyed, and of what he had done in our fiat, which served to embitter him more. An act done in our will, an act of love, an adoration formed in it, is so very great that the creature does not have the capacity to contain it, nor the place where to put it. Therefore, only in my will can these acts be done and possessed. Once the soul who enters in it finds in act all that which innocent Adam did in this will divine, his love, his tenderness of a son toward his celestial father, the divine paternity that overshadowed his son from all sides in order to love him. Everything becomes hers and loves, adores, and repeats what innocent Adam did. My divine will does not change, nor does it alter, as it was, it is, and will be, provided the creature enters into my fiat and has life together with it. No limits are placed, nor does it excise duty on the boundaries. Rather, it says, take what you want, love me as you want. In my fiat, what is yours is mine. Only outside of my fiat, divisions, separations, distances begin, and the onsetting of what is yours and mine takes life. Amen, fiat.
Thank you. Thank you, Liz. Let's see here. I wanted to share with you a passage from St. Augustine in where he talks about this capacity. Just give me a second, please. We see here that our Lord Jesus is talking about this capacity that Adam has in the beginning. He had the capacity to receive everything, what gave him this capacity to be able to receive all that his creator was giving him, was that union in which he was created. And that union allowed him or enabled him to be able to receive and then to give back. And that every time he was able to receive even more, and then he acquired a new capacity to receive. And that the church tells us this about this capacity and this harmony in 375 and 376. And also, our Lord Jesus talks about that in volume 24, excuse me, volume 14, with the prevenient and the actual act, that the soul acquires a new capacity. And this notion of acquiring new capacity and receiving always something new, the creature always growing in that capacity to receive that divine life that God offers to the creature is not something new in the church either, because even Saint Augustine, he already talked about that, and he used that language of acquiring a new capacity, but he used it to express the concept of faith. And it makes perfect sense. But now that we know the faith already, and we can apply that concept that Saint Augustine applied to see how through this gift we continue to receive that new capacity that the Lord is asking us in. Throughout the Book of Heaven, we find that our Lord Jesus is telling Luisa always to be faithful, to pay attention, to continue doing the rounds. Luisa Picaretta, in this passage that we just read, she begins when saying, "I continue my round in the divine will." If you look at that phrase, "I continue my round in the divine will," basically she is doing the last part that the Catechism in 358 is telling us that we are supposed to do. The creature is supposed to always do this: give back to God all his creation. This is what Luisa Picaretta is doing. She understands now. This is in volume 32, so she's well versed in this divine science, and she understands the divine science now. So she knows that her duty as a creature is to love God, to know him, to serve him, and to return everything back to him. And that's why she continues. And throughout the whole all the last books, you look at those entries, she's always doing her rounds. So she basically is doing her duty as a creature. And when St. Augustine talks about this notion of expanding, he connects it with the concept of faith and then with the concept of prayer. Our Lord Jesus, when he insists to Luisa Picaretta that she needs to continue this and to do this every day, to surrender her human will every day, this is an offering that we have to do every day. Because the more we do it, the more capacity we receive. I want to read this passage and hopefully we can make the connection. It comes from the actually comes from the Liturgy of the Hours, from the Office of Readings. It's from the 29th week in Ordinary Time. For those who follow the Liturgy of the Hours, is from the 29th week of Ordinary Time, and is from Friday. And also from Sunday, the 29th, is the letter that Saint Augustine uses there. So I want to read what he says here. St. Augustine says the following. He says, we do not know what is right to pray for, because surely we cannot believe that either he or those whom he wrote did not know the Lord's Prayer. He's talking about prayer. Then later on, St. Augustine says, excuse me, so I'm a little bit, okay, here. So when St. Augustine talks about prayer, he tells the following. Why he should ask us to pray when he knows that we need what we need before we ask? So he's asking us, why is our Lord Jesus asking us to pray? He already knows what we need even before we ask. Then he says, this may perplex us if we do not realize that our Lord and God does not want to know what we want. For he cannot fail to know it, but wants us rather to exercise. This is the important part. He wants us to exercise our desire through our prayers. He already knows what we need. Why is he asking us to pray? And this is the answer. Because he wants us to exercise our desire to our prayer. And we are going to apply this for the gift of the divine will. Why do we repeat every day? Why do we give our human will to the Lord every day? Why do we do the prevenient and the actual act every day? If the Lord already knows that we want this gift to operate in us. But this is what happens. He wants us to exercise our desire so that we may be able to receive what he is preparing to give us. So the asking, I give you my will, give me your will, prepares us to receive this gift that he's ready to give us. This is another important part. His gift is very great indeed, but our capacity is too small and limited to receive it. This is an Augustine talking about faith. And in the passage that we just read, our Lord says that our capacity, the capacity of the creature, is very small. That one act in the divine will is so great, but the creature does not have the capacity to contain what he has for us. Then St. Augustine says, that is why we are told, enlarge your desire. Do not bear the yoke with unbelievers. So the important part here that St. Augustine is able to contribute to apply for the divine will is, why do we need to offer our will every day? Why do we need to ask for the divine will to descend if the Lord already wants to know, to give us this gift? Because by doing that, we exercise our desires. And then that prepares us to receive this gift. That prepares the soul to receive this gift that he's willing and that he's so eager to give to us. Then he continues, the deeper our faith, the stronger our hope, the greater our desires. The larger will be our capacity to receive that gift, which is great indeed. So I want you to notice that he's using this language of enlarging our capacity, and he's applying this for the gift of faith. But now we know that our Lord Jesus is applying it for the gift of the divine will. So hopefully you can see the connection with the language that St. Augustine is using and our Lord is using. The only difference is that St. Augustine is using this to explain the gift of faith and why do we need to pray. And here our Lord Jesus is applying it for the gift of the divine will, that the creature doesn't have the capacity to receive, but by asking, that prepares the soul to receive that gift that is so great indeed. Then he says, in this faith, hope, and love, we pray always with unwearied desire. However, at set times and seasons, we also pray to God in words, so that by these signs we may instruct ourselves and mark the progress we have made in our desires. The more fervent the desires, the more worthy will be its fruit. When the apostle tells us pray without ceasing, he means this: desire unceasingly that life of happiness, which is nothing if not eternal, and ask it for him who alone is able to give it to us. So by praying in this way, we exercise our desire to receive it. The Lord will be able to prepare basically the room in our souls, because he's the one who's able to enlarge our capacity through our desire, through our prayer, to our asking, to our always giving our will to the Lord, offering to the Lord. And in this way, the admonition of the apostle to pray without ceasing becomes a reality in our lives. And St. Augustine explains, sometimes we pray with words, but in this way of living, we pray with words, with acts. So hopefully you can see the connection there with the passage that we read today. And then, as Luisa Picarreta continues her rounds, this is something that we have to learn from these passages too, that this is what we are called to do. For us, this is the way of praying too, because it's fulfilling what the Catechism is teaching us in 358, the last part. So you pay attention to that. Luisa Picarreta, she now learns what she's supposed to do exactly to be able to fulfill her duty as a creature. And in that fulfilling, her capacity is enlarged all the time, all the time, all the time, all the time. And this can be for us also a reality. This is the role of Luisa. Luisa de Carreta for us is an example, so that as she learned to operate in this way, we also may learn to surrender our will and to begin to operate in that way. I was reading a book about the rule of Saint Benedict, and it's very interesting because also even Saint Benedict also already knows, and he talks about this in his rule. I think it's 59, in number 59 of his rule. This is what Saint Benedict tells his monks that they have to do in order to live a monastic life, that way of life. He says 59 is to despise one's own will. Basically, to die to your human will. And when we are talking about Saint Benedict, we are talking about, I think, the 1500s, the year 500, excuse me, something like that. Since the Benedictines, they are one of the oldest, if not the oldest, communities. He's the founder of the monastic life, one of the founders of the monastic life. So you see that throughout the whole salvation history, and this is the purpose. Everything is a preparation for the human race to be able to receive the gift that was lost through the fall of Adam and Eve. And why the human race couldn't receive this before? For so many reasons. First of all, because before Christ, the doors were not open yet. We needed that reconciliation. We needed to be reconciled. So this is what our Lord Jesus does. Then after that, when the apostles, they go and they are sent to preach. They couldn't preach the gift of the divine will because we need to know, first of all, about our Lord Jesus, that it is in him that we find this reconciliation, and how we need to understand how the two wills, they operate in him. The human and the divine, they operate in him. And how by that operation, the two wills operating in total harmony, he's able to reconcile us, to restore us, to make us anew. And we become a new creation in him. So we belong to Christ and Christ belongs to God. So in him, we all belong to God. So now that the gospel basically is known everywhere, the good news, that's what gospel means, good news. What are the good news? That we have redemption in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now we are at the time that we are able now to understand this gift. And we see even through the saints that they already were moving towards this. We see glimpses everywhere. In all the saints, we see glimpses of the divine will. And what is different here is that through these writings of the servant of God, Luisa Picaretta, we now have the full knowledge of the divine science of how to go back to the point of origin. and how the soul is able to enter into that dimension. That is not by our human capacity, but as the Catechism says, is far beyond our human capacity, but He enables us. He enables us to enter into that. And in there, all of us, we are able to find that union in which innocent Adam was created and to basically to take up from where he left, to pick up from where he left, to start living that way of life. There is even another example, another saint, Saint Gertrude. She another mystic. And Saint Gertrude, she talks about the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And even our Lord gives her this wonderful prayer that it's been said that if you pray this prayer, 1,000 souls in purgatory can be released. But the point that I want to make is that even Saint Gertrude, she already talks about the divine will. There's a beautiful story in which our Lord talks to her. It's been said that our Lord talks to her and our Lord presents her two choices. He says, you want to be healthy? Or you want to be or to suffer? Total health or to suffer? So she basically is confronted with these two choices, and her answer is the following. She says, oh my Lord, this only I desire of thee in all my prayers, that wherever you decide, it may be not my will, but your will. Very intelligent. She lets the Lord desire to decide. And she says, and so I am ready to receive either. Neither do I choose, because this belongs to you to decide. And then the Lord says, he replied, whoever desires to be often visited by me, let him offer me the key of his will. Whoever desires to be visited by me, let him offer me the key of his will. So isn't that what we do when we say, Lord Jesus, I give you my will? Or when we do our prevenient and actual act, isn't that what the Lord wants us to give, the key of our free will, in exercising ourselves in this way of living? That in every single act, we may give him the key of our free will so that he may be able to operate. And then the story says that after this in Gertrude, she will say this little prayer, not my will, but thy be done, O my loving Jesus. Not my will, but your will be done. And this is basically what we are saying. We say this without words. We say this with actions. Whenever we unite ourselves with the will of God, we are giving the key of our will to our Lord, and we are saying, "Not my will, but yours. May your will operate in me in a perfect way as it operates in the saints of heaven. May your will operate in me as it operates in creation, because remember, creation is fixed in the will of God. May your will operate in me as it operated in innocent Adam." So many ways to give our will to the Lord and to express in words our desires. Remember our desires, the desire that St. Augustine was talking about in the letter that I read to you, that desire prepares the soul to receive that gift that the Lord is able to give us. And it's a great gift, but our capacity needs to be enlarged. And this is the way we enlarge our capacity. Then, when our Lord talks about that, tenderness of the divine will above the tenderness of the divine paternity, that wants to see everything in order in us. That desire of our Lord, that desire of God to see everything in order in man, is needed. That order is needed because everyone who governs oneself can be said that is a king of himself. So Adam, in that state of holiness and innocence in which he was created, he possessed full dominion of himself. He was a king. Remember, he had possession of all creation. He was able to name. That was his kingdom. All creation was his kingdom. And he lost that kingdom also. Our Lord Jesus recovered that for us, and he opened the door for us to be able to go back. Now we are not promised to go back to that garden, but we are now offered the opportunity to go even to a higher place. Something that he will have enjoy at the proper time also, if he will have remained in that union. So basically that union with God, that perfect union that Adam was supposed to possess after his early life, is not lost. Because this is what our Lord offers. Now we have to go through this journey, which the church calls the militant church. We are the militant church. And once we end our period here, we are promised that eternal reward. That, as Saint Thomas Aquinas describes when he talks about heaven, is lux vera, true light, perfect happiness, perfect joy, fulfillment, perfection. So we will have no need for study the divine will there anymore. You will know it. No questions. Nothing, because that's that true light will fill you with the knowledge of who God is. We only have to remember that it will be according to our capacity. So when our Lord talks about capacity here, and we go back to St. Augustine, that he was using that concept to explain faith, now we have to use that concept to understand the gift of the divine will and to understand that through that capacity that we may acquire through our human acts united with the divine will, that is the key for us, because that gives us the capacity to enlarge our containers, which is our soul, so that one day we may be able to enjoy that light, that perfect light, as much as possible. And while we are here, our Lord tells us that when we begin to operate in this way, everything becomes ours. Remember the concept of unity. We are able to embrace everything, because we enter into that dimension. We enter into that realm of the divine, that one eternal present, the eternal present of God, in which basically Adam was created. And in this way, we are able to go back. This is the way to go back to the point of origin, to immerse ourselves in the divine will constantly and always asking for this gift. Something that the Lord says here is that he says, everything becomes her and loves, adores, and repeats what innocent Adam did. When we enter into this way of operation, of operating. And he says, my divine will does not change, nor does it alter as it was. It is and it will be. Because the divine will doesn't change. It's always the same. So God has not changed his mind of giving us this gift. Since the beginning, he wanted us to operate in this way. The ones who change their minds is us. That one day we may feel that we want to live in the divine will and we become so pious and prayerful and full of fervor, and next day we feel like doing nothing. See how the human will changes. But in living in this way, as St. Augustine says, sometimes in seasons we are called to pray with words. But the important point here is that whether we are filled with fervor or whether we don't feel like, we may always remain asking the Lord to admit us into the union of his will. And even when we don't feel like, and we still do it, that is even more meritorious for us, more merit for us. Because remember, it is the will here. It's not the feeling, it's not the sentiments, it's the will, the desire. And this is what our Lord sees in us, that we have that desire, that no matter what our feelings are, we have that desire to remain in union with him. Remember what the Lord tells his disciples, remain with me. This is the way to remain with the Lord, in union always. So the divine will doesn't change. It's always the same. That's why the plan of God is the same. What is the plan of God since the beginning? That the creature may operate with his will always. And he has done everything. After the fall, he continued to seek us. And he continues to seek all of us at every moment. So it's a matter of letting God finding us. In a way, He has found us. His will has found us because we have knowledge of this divine science. And in a way, by the very fact that we are here studying this text and we seek to learn more and to study this and to learn and to advance in the way of operating in the divine will, thus a living proof that He has found us and that we have let ourselves be found. So for us now, it's a matter of continuing allowing that divine will to operate in us. And now that we have found this great gift to ask the Lord, Lord, increase that gift in me. Because it's already in you, it's already in us that we seek to live in this way. So, our prayer as we advance in the spiritual life and in the knowledge and understanding of this divine science, to ask the Lord, Lord, let your divine will grow in me, increase the gift of your divine will operating in me, enlarge my capacity, open my understanding, help me understand, enlarge my understanding, my capacity to love you more. Because this is also what happens when we acquire a new capacity, we are able to love God more in a way. In philosophy, we say that to love someone is to desire good for the other, for the person. So the more good you desire for the other, the more you love the others. So God is the supreme good, the highest good. So we cannot desire something greater, or we cannot love God with something greater than with His own self, with His own life, which He is the greatest good. To love the greater good, the supreme good, with a supreme good operating in us. So, this is what we are called to live, and this is something that we have to desire again, because that prepares our soul to receive. And for us also, that way of asking the Lord, increase your gift in me. Increase my capacity to love you more. Increase my capacity to love you more and to love you with your own love, to love you perfectly, to be able to fulfill my call as a creature, my duty as a creature, to love you with your own love, to love you with that supreme love that is you yourself. And in that, He will be able to perfect us and to prepare us for that eternal life that He has promised. So, very important that the divine will doesn't change. The divine will doesn't change. It is the creature who changes, but God doesn't change. His plan for us is the same. What is His plan? That the creature may operate with the gift of the divine will in us, as it operated in Adam, as it operated in the Blessed Virgin Mary, in our Lord Jesus, and at one point, as it operated in Luisa Picarreta. So at one point of our life, we may reach that level of spirituality also in our life, so that we may be able to possess that gift in us and exercise then that gift in us, that as the Lord says, is ours. It's ours. It belongs to us. And in this union, then there will be no separation. The creature will enter into that perfect unity, the perfect unity that St. Augustine was looking for, the unity that the Carmelites, John of the Cross, Teresa of Avila, the Little Flower, that union that all the saints were looking for, the union that St. Gertrude was looking for, now is available for us. And it is so simple. It's so simple. It only requires for us to believe. Once we know the science, to believe that it is true and to exercise it, to desire it in us, that the Lord may be able to operate in us and He will bring everything to completion, because that's the duty of the Holy Spirit, to complete the work of creation that God the Father began and that Jesus restored. So now his mission is to perfect us. So let us ask the Lord Jesus to give us that grace and that docility also to the Holy Spirit. And with that, let's move to the letters.
Yes.